haven't seen a lot of it in Australia because it's a relatively new market for Australian exporters, but through our international fund, we look at a lot of Asian companies, and it is very, very common in the consumer market there for this surge in sales to evaporate very quickly.
What drives that? Is it just the in consumers' minds something is a desirable product and then it's hot for a moment and then that changes?
Yeah, and the whole economy is changing so quickly still. You know, 1990, so less than 30 years ago, you had an economy where the GDP per head was about $2,000 US, and you didn't have any consumer brands at all. So there's a lot of change happening in the economy. There are a lot of brands trying to establish themselves. And for that exact reason, you can have something that's very hot one day and then the trend changes and the latest and greatest becomes something different.
So one of the challenges, I guess, is that the longer a brand is around, potentially the stronger its image can become. But if you don't have that in China, that it can be difficult to establish yourself in that kind of role.
That's exactly right. By its very nature, a strong brand is one that has been around for a long time and one that generations of people have grown up with, so that it is well established in the population psyche. Again, because the Chinese economy is so new, you just don't have those well-established brands there. You will have them in 30 or 40 years' time. They're just not there at the moment.
Are they likely to be Australian brands?
I think it's quite possible. I think there's a huge opportunity for Australian food in particular to establish itself in China as high-quality brands that we can charge a premium for. The problem is working out which ones are they going to be in 30 or 40 years' time.
And on that, is there much you can do to predict that, or is it just does the market have to run its course, some will succeed and others won't?
I don't think there is anything you can do to predict it. There's a huge amount of randomness, and I think a lot of the brands that do become established probably don't even exist yet. It's going to take time. And even in Western economies around the world, each economy has its own unique brands, and they can sometimes be quite different from other economies. And there is a huge element of randomness in how that plays out.
So what lessons are there to be learnt from the Bellamy's example, do you think?
The huge issue here was just the expectation built into the share price more than anything else. It is still an amazing success story. This company was doing $30 million in sales just a few years ago, and it did $250 million in the last year. The problem was investors started to extrapolate that success into the future.
Right. Okay. So they thought this train is on the way up. Let's jump on board, perhaps not expecting that it might have to level out at some point.
Yeah, at its peak, the market capitalization of this company was well in excess of $1 billion. And I was comparing that earlier in the year to a huge company like Whitehaven Coal. You were paying more than $1 billion for what was still a very, very small business.
So do you think potential investors, will be put off these companies that are looking towards China now? Will people go in with a bit more caution seeing what's happened?
Yeah, I think they will be more sceptical and more conservative. I don't think the opportunity has gone away, and I don't think people will completely dismiss China as a market that we can export to. It is still a huge honeypot for Australian companies. I think there will be more scepticism around how much we can extrapolate that growth into the future.